Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, Chapter 7, The Meaning of Sri Chaitanya Meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vallabha Bhakta. Just looking at this thing. Being omniscient, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that Vallabha Bhakta's explanation of Krishna's name and Srimad Bhagavatam were useless. Verses 90-99. Vallabha Bhakta takes shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. 3.7, 90-95. Thereafter, Vallabha Bhakta went to the home of Gadadhar Pandit. He kept coming and going, showing affection in various ways, and thus maintained a relationship with him. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take Vallabha Bhakta very seriously, none of the people in Jagannath Puri would hear any of his explanations. Ashamed, insulted, and unhappy, Vallabha Bhakta went to Gadadhar Pandit. Approaching him with great humility, Vallabha Bhakta said, I have taken shelter of you, dear sir. Kindly be merciful to me and save my life. Please hear my explanation of the meaning of Lord Krishna's name. In that way, the mud of the shame that has come upon me will be washed off. Thus, Pandit Gosai fell into a dilemma. He was in such doubt that he could not decide alone what to do. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take Vallabha Bhakta very seriously. Therefore, Pandit Gosai, or Gadadhar Gosai, fell into perplexity. What would be his position if he heard Vallabha Bhakta's explanation of Sri Krishna's name? Certainly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be displeased. Therefore, Gadadhar Pandit Gosai could not make a decision. 3.7, 96-98. Although Gadadhar Pandit Gosai did not want to hear it, Vallabha Bhakta began to read his explanation with great force. Because Vallabha Bhakta was a learned Brahmana, Gadadhar Pandit could not forbid him. Thus he began to think of Lord Krishna. Oh, my dear Lord Krishna, he requested, please protect me in this danger. I have taken shelter of you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in everyone's heart. He will certainly know my mind. Therefore, I do not fear him. His associates, however, are extremely critical. Srila Prabhupada. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exists in everyone's heart. Therefore, he would know the circumstances under which Pandit Gosai agreed to hear Vallabha Bhakta's explanations. And certainly he would not be angry. However, the Vaishnavas who were always with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might not understand Gadadhar Pandit's inner consciousness. They might accuse him of having compromised with Vallabha Bhakta, despite his having been neglected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit Gosai was seriously thinking in this way. 3.7.99. Although Gadadhar Pandit Gosai was not in the least at fault, some of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees showed affection and anger towards him. Verses 100-139. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu diminishes the false pride of Vallabha Bhakta. 3.7.100-118. Every day, Vallabha Bhakta would come to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to engage in unnecessary arguments with Advaitacharya and other great personalities, such as Sri Damodar. Whatever conclusions Vallabha Bhakta eagerly presented were refuted by personalities like Advaitacharya. Whenever Vallabha Bhakta entered the society of devotees headed by Advaitacharya, he was like a duck in a society of white swans. One day, Vallabha Bhakta said to Advaitacharya, every living entity is female, Prakriti, and considers Krishna her husband, Pati. It is the duty of a chaste wife devoted to her husband to not utter her husband's name. But all of you chant the name of Krishna. How can this be called a religious principle? Yes, definitely. Oh my God. They come up with all these things. It's just over intelligent. You know, you put things together and then make a conclusion. It's not the direction that it goes. Advaitacharya responded, "In front of you is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personification of religious principles. You should ask him, for he will give you the proper answer." Hearing this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Vallabhabhata, you do not know religious principles. Actually, the first duty of a chaste woman is to carry out the order of her husband. The order of Krishna is to chant his name incessantly. Therefore, one who is chaste and adherent to the husband Krishna must chant the Lord's name, for she cannot deny the husband's order. Following this religious principle, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna always chants the holy name. As a result of this, he gets the fruit of ecstatic love of Krishna." Hearing this, Vallabhabhata was speechless. He returned home greatly unhappy and began to consider this. "Every day I am defeated in this assembly. If by chance I am one day victorious, that will be a great source of happiness for me, and all my shame will go away. But what means shall I adopt to establish my statements?" The next day, when he came to the assembly of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sat down after offering obeisances to the Lord and said something with great pride. In my commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, "I have refuted the explanations of Sridhar Swami. I cannot accept his explanations." Whatever Sridhar Swami reads, he explains according to the circumstances. Therefore, he is inconsistent in his explanations and cannot be accepted as an authority. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply replied, "One who does not accept the Swami, husband, as an authority, I consider a prostitute." Right? Because he was the one before talking about the wife and the husband and this and that. And then here's that, you know. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very grave. All the devotees present derived great satisfaction from hearing the statement. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended as an incarnation for the benefit of the entire world. Thus he knew the mind of Vallabhabhata very well. By various hints and refutations, Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, corrected Vallabhabhata exactly as Krishna had cut down the false pride of Indra. Srila Prabhupada. Indra, the King of Heaven, was very proud of his position. Therefore, when the residents of Vrindavan decided not to perform the Indra Yajna, but instead to perform the Govardhan Yajna in accordance with the instructions of Krishna, Indra, because of his false pride, wanted to chastise the residents of Vrindavan, thinking himself extremely powerful. Indra poured incessant rain upon Vrindavan, but Lord Krishna immediately cut down his pride by lifting Govardhan Hill as an umbrella to save the residents of Vrindavan. In this way, Krishna proved Indra's power most insignificant in the presence of his own omnipotence. 3.7, 119 to 134. An ignorant living being does not recognize his actual profit. Because of ignorance and material pride, he sometimes considers profit a loss. But when his pride is cut down, he can actually see his true benefit. Returning home that night, Vallabhabhata thought, "Previously at Prayag, Lord Chaitanya was very kind to me. He accepted my invitation with his other devotees, and he was kind to me. Why has he now changed so much here at Jagannath Puri? Being very proud of my learning, I am thinking, let me become victorious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, is trying to purify me by nullifying this false pride. For a characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he acts for everyone's welfare. I am falsely proud, advertising myself as a learned scholar. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insults me just to favor me by cutting down this false pride. He is actually acting for my benefit, although I interpret his actions as insults. This is exactly like the incident in which Lord Krishna cut down Indra, the great puffed-up fool, to correct him." Thinking in this way, Vallabhabhata approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the next morning and in great humility offered many prayers. He sought shelter and surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord. Vallabhbhata admitted, I am a great fool, and indeed I have acted like a fool by trying to demonstrate my learning to you. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have showed mercy to me in a way just befitting your position by insulting me to cut down all my false pride. I am an ignorant fool, for I interpret as an insult, what is meant for my benefit. In this way, I am just like King Indra, who out of ignorance tried to surpass Krishna, the Supreme Lord. My dear Lord, you have cured the blindness of my false pride by smearing my eyes with the ointment of your mercy. You have bestowed so much mercy upon me that my ignorance is now gone. My dear Lord, I have committed offenses. Please excuse me. I seek shelter of you. Please be merciful unto me by placing your lotus feet on my head. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are both a greatly learned scholar and a great devotee. Wherever there are two such attributes, there cannot be a mountain of false pride. You have dared criticize Sridhar Swami, and you have begun your own commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, not accepting his authority. That is your false pride. Sridhar Swami is the spiritual master of the entire world, because by his mercy we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I therefore accept him as a spiritual master. Whatever you might write due to false pride, trying to surpass Sridhar Swami would carry a contrary purport. Therefore, no one would pay attention to it. Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam has many tikas, or commentaries, following the parampara system, but Sridhar Swami's is first. The commentaries of all the other acharyas follow his. The parampara system does not allow one to deviate from the commentaries of the previous acharyas. By depending upon the previous acharyas, one can write beautiful commentaries. However, one cannot defy the previous acharyas. The false pride that makes one think that he can write better than the previous acharyas will make one's comments faulty. At the present moment, it has become fashionable for everyone to write in his own way. But such writing is never accepted by serious devotees. Because of false pride, every scholar and philosopher wants to exhibit his learning by interpreting the shastras, especially the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, in its own way. This system of commenting in one's own way is fully condemned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he says, Artha Vyastha Likana Se. Commentaries written according to one's own philosophical way are never accepted. No one will appreciate such commentaries on the revealed scriptures. 3:7, 135-139. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, one who comments on Srimad Bhagavatam following the footsteps of Sridhar Swami will be honored and accepted by everyone. Put forth your explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam following the footsteps of Sridhar Swami. Giving up your false pride, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Abandoning your offenses, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the holy names of the Lord. Then very soon you will achieve shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Vallabhbhata Acharya requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you are actually pleased with me, please accept my invitation once again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had descended to deliver the entire universe, accepted the invitation of Vallabhbhata just to give him happiness. Verses 140-173. Vallabhbhata takes initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. Mm-hmm.
So, what was the initial motive of Vallabhbhata to go to Prabhupada? What did he have in mind exactly?
I think before.
Was it just rooting for him to go and defeat someone else?
No, I think it was that he had that respect for Lord Chaitanya in that, because you can see is that it mentioned at one point when he saw Lord Chaitanya wasn't taking him seriously, it changed his whole attitude towards Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
So it appears that he went with the idea to meet Lord Chaitanya and the associates, but at the same time as he had written his commentary and he wanted he respected Lord Chaitanya because he met him before in Varanasi, or was it Allahabad?
Mm-hmm.
Varanasi.
Hmm?
Allahabad. And so then he wanted to read his commentary to him because of some great like that and accepted it. Then, you know, he knows he's doing well. But at the same time as he already felt he was doing well, he just wanted it to be appreciated by others. Because you see, all along, he was always feeling bad when he was being chastised because it was about his scholarship. It wasn't about knowing what was the proper absolute truth. you know, he was a devotee, he was a scholar, so he was basically on the path. But he got deviated by the scholarship, you know, that pride. Because as mentioned, if that pride comes in, then everything gets ruined, and if the pride's not there. So the main pride was, as he thought, he was writing a better commentary than Sridhar Swami. You know, especially if he's going to go take shelter of that line, then it's not a good thing. You know.
And when he felt that it was not accepted, he went to push his luck with Vidara.
Yes, but then he saw that that's not also necessarily doing so well. So then, but then we can see is after he made that point about Sridhar Swami and how all the commentaries follow him, then he started to think about it. And then, you know, by Krishna's grace, there must have been some change in the mood, and so then it was, he could understand what was the appropriate approach.
What's interesting in that pastime is that despite the fact that he did have some change of heart,
mm-hmm.
he did took a humble attitude, but he still does not accept Sridhar Swami. Because he's going to go on with his own path. He's not going to follow those commentaries. He's still going to do his own commentary.
Yeah, but at least he saw where it was wrong. Maybe he can't accept it, but...
And on top of that, as we're going to see, he's going to need a parampara to do it. So he's going to go to Gadara to get hooked onto a proper lineage.
Yeah, but he's going to take shelter of that, of the Vishnu Swami line.
Right.
Which is Sridhar Swami's, he's the previous commentator.
I mean, it's like going full circle.
Yeah. But that's the whole point, is that you can see as one has to be very careful about these.
So as you said, really, I'm trying to pinpoint, really, what is it that doesn't make things work for him, and I think what you mentioned is scholarship.
Scholarship, but the pride of scholarship.
The pride of scholarship.
Because scholarship is not a problem, because Jiva Goswami... Prabhupada said he's the greatest scholar in the contemporary age.
Yes.
And contemporary age means as long as we go back. So you can basically say for Kali Yuga.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so scholarship is not the problem. He went and studied, I think, 12 years in Varanasi.
Yes.
Jiva Goswami studied 20.
Yes.
You know? That's why it's... I mean, we were told by some Sri Vaishnav scholars... Not the priests, not the sannyasis, but like the in the sampradaya they'll have their scholars, you know, and they'll write. They used to have a magazine, I think called Sudarshan or something like that. Is that you know about that or something? It was a Sri Vaishnav magazine that would come out regularly. I'm not sure how regular, if it was every month or like. So it would have all the scholarly articles and so. Person who was leading that was talking about that the Shris, those who are scholarly, read Jiva Goswami. And he even said, even the others read. He said he knew of a Shankarite who reading Jiva Goswami's had taken up Vaishnavism because it had just, you know, cleared the doubt so exactly. But he was saying that they read because it's just, if you're into scholarship, there isn't anything more scholarly than that. And that you can, you know, the word jugglery means you can take it and by the jugglery of the words, you can come up with a different meaning. You know, you can apply an indirect meaning on a direct verse. But he was saying that Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit is written so well, that's impossible to do. You cannot juggle Jiva Goswami Sanskrit. It's just so perfectly and tightly written. It has one meaning and one meaning only. And so they read it just because for them it's like, you know, it's just like, let's say someone is into English literature, so they read Shakespeare, you know, just because it's just so nice, you know, like that. So they read it because of that. So it's
I mean,
so scholarship's not the problem.
It's the attitude.
It's the attitude. So even if one doesn't, it's just like the monkeys. Now, they're not being scholars here, but they're doing big work. Right? So in other words, that's the meaning of that verse by Rupa Goswami of giving up all karma and jnana. So here it's because of his jnana, he's thinking he's very special. The monkeys, because of their karma, they were thinking there because they can do things no one else can do. Because he went around defeating everybody. And so as far as scholarship goes, he was good. I mean, he went around India 3 times. And so that means, you know, up to this point he had not been neglected. When he comes to Puri, and everybody neglects him. It's just they just don't care. So that becomes a anxiety for him because, you know, all that study, you know, his bhaktas means of Brahmins. That's a very special level, like that, and yeah. So he has that. So it's the pride that's a problem because Krishna's young, knows everything. But the thing is you don't see him proud, you know, exhibiting pride because of the knowledge. So that's in Gita, then when it lists knowledge, the 20 qualities, it says humility is the main. So how do you know someone's knowledge actually knowledgeable is if they're humble. So if the more they study, the more pride they get, they're actually less knowledgeable. They may be technically this and that, but their actual ability to understand what's what will be less.
You know, it's very interesting to see our ISKCON scholars,
mm-hmm.
you know, who are working in the academy,
mm-hmm.
and how they behave and what's their mood within that circle,
mm-hmm.
and how they behave and what's their mood within the Vaishnava circle.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, it's really edgy. You know?
Yeah, well, if it's edgy, that's when you tell the driver, oh, 8 minutes, sidey, and get out of the car and just walk. You know, that's what you do. You know. Yeah. So that's the problem. They get into that mood and they forget to switch it off. Because the point is if you want to work in the academy, you have to learn their language and stuff what they do and their methods. But the idea is to learn those things so you can use those to establish Siddhanta. But if you take it that this is actual scholarship and then use those terms within the Vaishnava society, then it's as foolish as Vallabhabhata. You know? And you can't say he's not a scholar, you know, like that. He's respected by, you know, millions in India. Yeah, how many millions respect any scholar in the West? You know what I'm saying? Contemporary scholar like that. You know, Shakespeare might get millions. But even the scholars go after him that, you know, that's not real English, that's not real English grammar, and that kind of jazz, you know. So it's just, it has to be understood as that that's your, and so if they're preaching in that field, then there should be no pride because they're establishing Krishna consciousness. If it's their occupation, they've got a degree and that's where they work, they're comfortable, and so they do that as their, it pays the bills and all that, but when they come across into the ashram and the Vaishnava community, it shouldn't be there. You know, just because you work down at, you know, the bank, then that means that when you come with the Vaishnavas and you're telling everybody how to use their money and you're proud, you know, that's left outside. So in either case, there's no place for it. So this thing where you get a bunch of them and then it becomes okay, or it becomes respected, then that's a problem. That's going against what Rupa Goswami said. You have to leave those things, and we see the example here. And we see it, it's not just him, it's not just this is a one-off thing. What about the Kashmiri Brahmin? You know? And he had, you know, very special, he could just compose verses. Vallabhabhata is coming and saying, what I've sat and documented and wrote down, please hear that. And he was very proud. But this person, it's that maybe he wrote that before, but right now I can compose things. I mean, it's 100 verses just spoken like the wind. You have to be very good to do that. You know? So that's very special. So then, but then Lord Chaitanya just, you know, defeated him. And he was asking, you know, Mother Saraswami, how is this possible? How could this happen? You know, so and, you know, he worships her so nicely, he's this and that, but, you know, she points out is that you tried to defeat my Lord, so therefore, of course you'll be defeated. So it always comes up as anybody, and we see is that, you know, we would take it that Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, you know, they have their money, their devotees, and that's very nice, but then we see Lord Chaitanya makes comments about that, is that if you become proud of that, or you become too much into that, then it becomes a problem. You know? So that's the difficulty, is all these things, anything in karma and jnana, which means anything material, if it's not seen in the context of Krishna, it's a problem. So that's what it comes down to. So we always have to be careful, because see, as we were discussing in the morning with the Bhagavatam, is that Jiva Goswami is pointing out that this Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. That's the regulatory verse for every verse in the Bhagavatam. And since in Jiva Goswami and Tattva Sandarbha's established Bhagavatam as the paramount literature, the Vedic literatures, that means that verse controls every verse of all the Vedic literatures. If you don't see it in the context of that, you're not seeing that verse correctly.
Second, Paribhasa Sutra.
Yes, Paribhasa. It means it regulates everything else. It means when we say, oh, but this one's contradictory, that one's contradictory, and he points out that's what the Paribhasa Sutra is for. Then apply that, you'll see no contradiction. So when devotees present, oh, there's a contradiction, and they're presenting it because they think, I'm so intelligent, I saw this. Mm-hmm. But that means they're not that intelligent, because why aren't they regulating it with the verse that that's for, and then go out? If they say, I don't know that, then why are you saying you're a scholar? You know, such a basic point, the Paribhasa Sutra. It means if you're not a scholar and you don't know about that, fine, but if you're a scholar and you don't know about that, that's something wrong. You know what I'm saying?
You know, okay, there have been devotees who've gone out there, or either before they joined, they did some scholarly research, actually not in the field of religion, you know, like we get one of biology or
biochemistry, yes.
He's a scientist, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but yet, but
he's a scientist, yeah, PhD. Nothing special, really.
But then you have devotees who step out of, you know, their Vaishnava lifestyle, who go to university. They don't just pick any topic. They want to stick to something Vaishnava, mm-hmm. the deity worship, Jiva Goswami, Bhakti, you know, they go for the kill, the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting, because once they've secured the scholarship, they begin to give seminars.
Mm-hmm. Right? Based on their thesis.
Based on their research. And the devotees are very interested. If you listen attentively and you know a little bit of what they're talking about, it's very easy to pick up. This is Vaishnava philosophy. This is the academy.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes way above the devotee's head. And they accept them as authorities. Like whatever he says, he can't be wrong.
Mm-hmm. And because that's what they've been taught.
Well, you know.
It means that's what they've learned from the academy.
No, I'm talking about the audience.
Yes. But I'm saying is that the academy has taught them that, so they also act like that.
Yes.
It's not that they act. It means if someone was a PhD, then became a devotee, means surrendered and became a devotee, you see that you'll never see them as an academic.
Right.
They'll always act as a devotee. Just like, let us say, a devotee is doing something and then he gets into business and all that, he'll walk around as he's a big businessman. But let's say you have a big industrialist and then he becomes a devotee, he'll walk around as a devotee, not an industrialist. You know? So it's just a flavor picked up from the academy, and the audience, they're used to that people from the university, they're smart. They know more than me. I'm not an academic. They know like that, or if a scientist speaks or a politician speaks, they'll just always, the common person has a tendency to accept authority and knowledge, influence, money, fame, all these things.
But then they will go and quote them, and then you'll say, where did you get that from? That's not in the Vaishnava literature.
Yeah. Yes, so that becomes a problem. Is why are these devotees, means their thesis is being written in such a way under their mentor that the so-called, what do you call that, peer review will accept it. And then they're in a position where now, being part of the academy, they should be able to now say what they like to say rather than what they should say.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, as that's for them. It's not for us. So for us, then it should be their scholarship on, you know, their ability to apply themselves to a topic and really go into it. You know, it's just like Radha Govinda Maharaj. Like that, he reads Bhagavatam 10 hours a day, every day. So he can quote from Bhagavatam and that, you know, and he'll be he's very, very nice how he can tell and connect everything and all that. So use their scholarship in that way. But why present that the work I did over here, you know, this is what should be done? Because then that shows an attachment for Gyan.
Yes.
Because I did the work, I don't want to. It's just like someone does some work, like say, someone, I've seen it so many times, someone does some work on the curriculum. You know, comes in and helps, they type or this or that, or, you know, do some little work for you. But then, you know, if the attitude is such that they, you know, they did their work and now they're ready to move on, they want to take that work with them because it's theirs. When all they did was type your stuff, but now because they typed it, it's theirs now. So it becomes a problem, is that they think, I've done this work, I put in whatever it is, 3, 4, 6 years, and so therefore everybody should recognize that. That's what Balabhabhatta is doing.
Yes.
And just the thing is Balabhabhatta was presenting before scholars, and so they weren't accepting. These scholars are presenting before what in their mind as academics think are common people who don't know anything and are laymen. So of course they have to accept because, you know, and they carry that attitude. They're not coming in and giving these points from a humble point of view. Otherwise people will catch that. You know, they're doubting, they're attacking the Vaishnava things. They're doing these things. At the same time, certain things they support. So in other words, anything that of the Vaishnava that could be supported by the modern academy, they'll support, but anything that the modern academy would oppose, they'll oppose, because they have to maintain it. What if someone heard, you know, what if someone from the academy heard this, I would be, you know, blacklisted or something.
Right.
So they care more about what the academics will think of them than of the Vaishnava community.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so it's just a, you could say, the residue of, you know, being in the material existence. It's either attachment to karma or jnana or, you know, any combination. So there's still an attachment to jnana because it's recognized, oh, that's a big thing and all that. Is that, you know, so that's the position, is that the knowledge we have and everything will be taken as, it's just something ordinary, but what they've done, because they've done it. But the point is what about the acharyas and what they understand, what Jiva Goswami writes, what the other acharyas write, and all that? That's real scholarship. So if you study that, appreciate that, and can apply that and explain that, now you're doing something in with scholarship. But if it's a matter of, no, I have to do it, I'm the doer, therefore I'm the enjoyer. Like, I did this, therefore I can enjoy others appreciating me for being who I am. I can remember one time it was Indudun Maharaj. It was a casual talk. Me and God brothers were there, and they were talking about different things. And yeah, I think it came up about what's your favorite festival, or this or that, and that. And he was always talking about his Prabhupada's, you know, appearance day. He always makes a big thing out of that. And then they asked, what for you is the most difficult festival? He says, my Vyas Puja. He says, that's the worst day. You know? So he's just very... Yeah, but he doesn't really like them. I remember, I can't remember where it was, but in some place.
Here?
It was someplace, I can't remember if it was in Poland or in Russia or someplace. That was someplace, because I don't know when it was. 6 hours he's sitting, he asked me just to sit there next to him, because he says otherwise he's going to go nuts. You know, because he has to be smiling and everything for 6 hours, you know, and it's, he would rather not hear his own glories, you know. But, you know, because he's very kind to the devotees, therefore he gets into it. Yes.
I think also to the point that Prabhu mentioned that Vallabhavata, his reputation there was basically spoiled. So we know it's difficult. Once it's spoiled, it's not going to go, you know, very far. And as far as I understood, historically, the philosophy of Vishnu Swami by that time was already lost. So then now everybody knows that line as Vallabha line. But he's like we read, he's Mahaprabhu's contemporary, just a few years, I think
he's older.
Older. Maybe
I get the idea years. He's older.
Few years. So Jiva Goswami by that time, he wasn't there with his teaching. And then Rupa and Sanatana, they just developed. But he already had something. Like it's mentioned here, and he wanted to present. Mahaprabhu didn't take it seriously. So his reputation was spoiled. So he shifted there, although he got initiation from Gadadhar Pandit, which they deny right now.
They deny everything. So it's like there is no Mahaprabhu. They say there's like nothing. He has nothing to do with us. It's like...
In fact, Vallabhacharya is Mahaprabhu for them.
Yeah.
Well, that's another topic.
Before you can get into that. It is interesting that of the Sampradayas, you'll say the Nimbarka Sampradaya, and the people now will identify with Nimbarka. Shris will identify there. Brahma, Madhva will identify there. But Vallabhas, you have to think about it. Who's it? It's Vishwasa. It's just called the Vallabha line.
Pushtimarga.
That's his line. Thing.
Yeah. Well, there is a purport. It's the end of one of the chapters. I don't remember. It might be in Gita where Prabhupada says we're Pushtimarga. Not necessarily his, but Pushti means nourishment.
Yes.
So we're it's in Bhagavatam. Yeah, it's the last purport in some chapter. He says we're Pushti. It's that it's nourishment. We're nourishing the devotional culture and stuff like that. Because they keep it simple and that, like the deity worship, it's not so technical. But all day they're burning incense, bringing things to eat, you know, doing, it's just all day they're taking care of like that. So in that way it's nice. But at the same time, as then, you know, appears there's some few problems. Hopefully, it's less problems than when he went. So you see, also devotees they would hear and that, and then they're doing whatever they want to do, and they want to be recognized, and that is not happening. Then they find out that somebody is recognizing and all that, and then they all get on a boat and, you know, head west, and then next thing you know, they're all, you know, bhakti something this and that, something like that, you know, like 15 of them like in 1 year, so
yeah.
And the next thing,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So you do have that. You do have that. Or it's here, is that we have this, we have the regulation, but you know, in other places, like in Vrindavan, you know, that there's guys there that, oh, it's so easy and all this and that, or others, oh, it's not about this, it's not about the chanting, it's about, you know, just do it within your mind and all that, and these are all external rules, you know. And so you have all these things being there, that you have this aspect of this difficulty of the scholarship, that attachment to that identity as scholarship. It's not a matter of using scholarship, but it's a matter of the identity as scholarship. That has to go. So whatever you do, it's not a problem, but like Yudhishthir doesn't identify as the emperor. He's a devotee. That happens to be his service. So the only ones you hear talking about him as the emperor should be the emperor, then there's everybody else. You know, Draupadi talks like that, Bhima talks like that, Krishna will talk like that. but he doesn't talk like that. Because for him, losing the whole kingdom, the main anxiety for him was that now I can't serve the Brahmins. He had that unlimited wealth and this and that. He could take care of, you know, millions of Brahmins. Now he can't do that. That was his anxiety. So it always comes back to the point is that whatever your position, it can be engaged in Krishna service. It doesn't matter. Someone has a lot, someone has a little, someone is very knowledgeable or not, or whatever the position. It's that you're using that properly according, you know, the direction of scriptures. And in Krishna's service without that false identity. Therefore, Jiva Srupoi Krishna Nitya Das. That's a, you know, Dasana, Dasana. That's the identity. It was interesting this morning, Prabhupada was talking about this principle there, and he was saying that how the queens, when they, when Draupadi was asking them about their position, you know, how they married Krishna and all that. So they'd all talk, but at the very end, their last point that they were making is that now Krishna is so kind, he's accepted me as his maidservant. Mm-hmm. So he always said that, you know, about being the maidservant. Then it was interesting is that he says, so the wife is thinking she's a maidservant, the husband, and the husband is identifying as the servant of the servant, you know, 100 times. So he emphasized that point, is that you have that aspect of servant, but it shouldn't be that the husband thinks, wife is serving me, I'm special. But he's the servant of, you know, in a line 100 down, she's directly the servant of the husband. He's 100 away from who he's serving. You know, just to keep things in perspective. So that aspect, that humility, you can see, is Trinada Pisunicha. Now that's what makes everything work. That you could say, as far as all Dharma, application of Dharma goes, that's the regulatory verse. You know? So it's like any of those positions, those are the Paribhasha Sutras. You know? So it's, you know, what is the mission? What is that in the first verse? What is my position, you know, like that of being the second verse? You know, what is the way you deal, the third verse, how you give up all material desire, the fourth, how you serve the Krishna, the fifth. Like that. So these aspects, then it does, because it says that Paribhak means there's one. It's not many, there's one. Because otherwise it get confused, is this one or that one. And even in that verse, it mentions that he says, because there's the two, Krishna, two Bhagavan Swayam, and then it goes on to something else. He says the second line is actually not the main part. It's the first line is the Paribhasha Sutra. The second one is saying about the application of that. Therefore, he comes to do this and do that and all that.
But then they talk about the predicate. And the,
That's in the commentary of Bhishma Chakravarti.
So that Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, that's is the point. That's why it says the sutra. So if it's seen in that way, that when Rupa Goswami gives that Anyabhilashita Shunyam, that is the verse. With that, then everything else can be seen. So all other things have to be seen like that. So even if you say Adau Shraddha, like that, these are the, what do you call it, the
stages.
Stages, but it was, but it had a different kind of sutras that were under that they would defeat everything else in line and bring everything in line with
Pratigyavakya.
So he says that, you know, in a region of it, you'll have so many, like say, doubts or questions and all that. So there's an underlying theme. So there's going to be one main point there that then corrects all that to bring it in line with the Paripasya Sutra. So it all, you know, filters down.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Here we see the other kind of situation when Vallabha Bhatt comes and then like forces him to hear. Mm-hmm. Then he says that I'm not afraid of the Lord because Lord knows my mind. Mm-hmm. But the devotee is then.
Yeah, yeah.
So then like we see generally happens also like what extent we have to take anxiety on this principle of, like, no, you know that if something of this, like, no, main principle direct, if you're trying to do something for the Lord pleasing, then there will be some devotees who will come and criticize them.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes. It's just because Krishna knows those things up also. So it's just what's supposed to come, how much, when, this, that, it's up to Krishna. Yes, I wouldn't worry about it. Point is that here is that, you know, to make it clear to the Lord what is your intention.
Yeah. You know.
Verses 140 to 173, Vallabhabhata takes initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. 3.7, 140, 142. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always eager to see everyone in the material world happy. Therefore, sometimes he chastises someone just to purify his heart. When Vallabhabhata invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, the Lord was very pleased with him. Jagannanda Pandit's pure ecstatic love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very deep. It can be compared to the love of Satyabhama, who always quarreled with Lord Krishna. Udriti Adi Lila, 21 to 23 verses in purport. Pandit Jagadananda, the sixth branch of the Chaitanya tree, was celebrated as the life and soul of the Lord. He is known to have been an incarnation of Satyabhama, one of the chief queens of Lord Krishna. Jagadananda Pandit, as an incarnation of Satyabhama, always wanted to see to the comfort of Lord Chaitanya, but since the Lord was a sannyasi, he did not accept the luxuries that Jagadananda Pandit offered. They sometimes appeared to fight over trifles. These quarrels were based on their affection, of which I shall speak later. There are many dealings of Jagadananda Pandit with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most importantly, he was the Lord's constant companion, and especially took part in all the pastimes of the Lord in the houses of Srivas Pandit and Chandrasekhar Acharya. 3.7, 143, 145. Jagadananda Pandit was accustomed to provoking loving quarrels with the Lord. There was always some disagreement between them. Gadadhar Pandit's pure ecstatic love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also very deep. It was like that of Rukmini Devi, who was always especially submissive to Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes desired to see Gadadhar Pandit's affection and anger, but because of his knowledge of the Lord's opulences, Aishwarya Gyane, his anger was never invoked. Srila Prabhupada. Joking with Rukmini Devi and Dwarka, Krishna once advised her to accept another husband because he was unfit for her. Rukmini Devi, however, unable to understand his joking words, took them very seriously and immediately fell to the ground in fear of separation from him. In the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagadananda Pandit was always in disagreement with the Lord, like Satyabhama, whereas Gadadhar Pandit was always awed by the Lord's opulence and was therefore submissive to the Lord under all circumstances. 3.7, 146 to 170. For this purpose, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes showed his apparent anger. Hearing of this anger inspired fear in the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Previously in Krishna Lila, when Krishna joked with Rukmini Devi, she took his words seriously and fear woke within her mind. Vallabhabhata was accustomed to worshipping the Lord as child Krishna. Therefore, he had been initiated into the Bala Gopal mantra and was thus worshipping the Lord. In the association of Gadadhar Pandit, his mind was converted, and he dedicated his mind to worshipping Kishora Gopal, Krishna as a young boy. Vallabhabhata wanted to be initiated by Gadadhar Pandit, but Gadadhar Pandit refused, saying, "The work of acting as a spiritual master is not possible for me. I am completely dependent. My Lord is Gaurachandra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I cannot do anything independently without his order." My dear Vallabhabhata, your coming to me is not appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he sometimes speaks to chastise me. Some days passed, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally pleased with Vallabhabhata, so this would be before, he was probably asking before, right? All this is going on. Some days passed, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, finally pleased with Vallabhabhata, accepted his invitation, the Lord sent Srup Damodar, Jagadananda Pandit, and Govinda to call for Gadadhar Pandit. On the way, Srup Damodar said to Gadadhar Pandit, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to test you. Therefore, he neglected you. Why did you not retaliate by reproaching him? Why did you fearfully tolerate his criticism?" Gadadhar Pandit said, "Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is completely independent. He is the topmost omniscient personality. It would not look well for me to talk to him as if I were his equal. I can tolerate whatever he says, bearing it upon my head. He will automatically be merciful to me after considering my faults and attributes." End quote. After saying this, Gadadhar Pandit went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell down crying at the lotus feet of the Lord. Smiling slightly, the Lord embraced him and spoke sweet words so that others would also hear. "I wanted to agitate you," the Lord said, "but you did not become agitated. Indeed, you could not say anything in anger. Instead, you tolerated everything. Your mind was not disturbed by my tricks. Rather, you stayed fixed in your simplicity. In this way, you have purchased me." No one can describe the characteristics and ecstatic love of Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, another name for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gadadhara Prananath, the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. No one can say how merciful the Lord is to Gadadhar Pandit, but people know the Lord as Gadayara Gauranga. Yeah, but here it has the Gadayara. Because if you say Gadai Gauranga, it probably means... Yeah, like Gorni Tai. But this is Gadai Arda, Gauranga means. Gauranga, you know, who belongs to Gadadhar. Yeah. Yeah, so the Ra, I think, indicates the possessive, like that, yeah. The Lord, the Lord Gauranga of Gadadhar Pandit. No one can understand the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are like the Ganges, for hundreds and thousands of branches flow from even one of his activities. Gadadhar Pandit is celebrated all over the world for his gentle behavior, his brahminical attributes, and his steady love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord purified Vallabhabhata by cleansing him of the mud of false pride. By such activities, the Lord also instructed others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually always merciful within his heart, but he was sometimes externally negligent of his devotees. We should not be preoccupied with his external feature. However, for if we do so, we shall be vanquished. Right? So you could always notice that the Lord is always kind to everybody, but sometimes the external feature may be more strict or more this or that. We shouldn't preoccupy ourselves with that. We should see as how the Lord is always very kind to the devotees. Pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very deep. Who can understand them? Only one who has firm, deep motivation to his lotus feet. Deep devotion. Only one who has firm, deep devotion to his lotus feet can understand these pastimes. Another day, Gadadhar Pandit invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to dinner. The Lord took prasad at his home with his personal associates. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted as a very merciful well-wisher towards Vallabhabhata by externally neglecting him in many ways to purify him of his false pride in being a learned scholar. The Lord neglected Gadadhar Pandit for a few days because of his associating with Vallabhabhata. Actually, he was not at all displeased with Gadadhar Pandit. Indeed, because Gadadhar Pandit is the personal potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's no chance of the Lord's being dissatisfied with him. However, a person who is too much attracted to externals cannot understand the deep meaning of these dealings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one therefore becomes disrespectful to Gadadhar Pandit, he will surely be vanquished. 37171-173. There, Vallabhabhata took permission from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his desire to be initiated by Gadadhar Pandit was thus fulfilled. I have thus explained the Lord's meeting with Vallabhabhata. By hearing this incident, one can achieve the treasure of love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps.
So, Gadadhar Pandit goes to Lord Chaitanya, just can you give me the mantra again?
Is that... Oh, that may be in a different place.
Oh, okay.
But here, that's it. Well, in other words, after that, it's just having that proper connection is that. So there's also the thing is that Vallabhabhata himself may have had the proper attitude and all that, but the devotees, because then they can also sometimes get into this, you know, in their neophyte kind of mood. They create the parties and everything like that. Because I've seen that happen before, is that you have these different senior Vaishnavas and all that, and then their followers will create the difference between the institutions. Yeah, but not the personalities themselves. You know. So you do have that happen. You know, you do have that happen. So that also could be, you know, that is, and then you add on to that 500 years, and then, you know, you have all kinds of far out things. Who knows the Mahaprabhu, if that was at his time or later they started calling him that. You know, so all these different things that would come up from the...
I think he's kept on his son.
Yeah, that does. Because if they then run like a caste Goswamis, then, you know, you'll have that kind of thing. And, you know, so it's these things all come up. Conclusion. The parampara system does not allow anyone to, and does not allow one to deviate from the commentaries of the previous acharyas. 134 purport. Vallabhabhatta was greatly proud of his knowledge and devotional service, and therefore he wanted to speak about Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without understanding the Lord's position. The Lord therefore hinted in many ways that if Vallabhabhatta wanted to know what devotional service actually is, he would have to learn from all the devotees he mentioned, beginning with Advaitacharya, Lord Nityananda, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Ramananda Rai. But as soon as he'd go and talk to them, of course, then he would present something and find... I mean, he didn't go to learn, he went to present like that. As Sarup Damodar has said, if one wants to learn the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, one must take lessons from a realized soul. One should not proudly think that one can understand the transcendental loving service of the Lord simply by reading books. Right? So that's the thing, what you're saying in the modern academy is that if you're going to have a proper thesis, you know, good, respectable thesis, then as a standard, then it should have a bibliography of 500 books. I think 300 you can get by with, but 5 is considered, you know. So a lot of times they just look at the big bibliography and they know, okay, it's going in the right direction. That's why it's when they do, let's say they want to do something on somebody's book, they can't just use that book. They want to do a Prabhupada's book. They can't just use Prabhupada's books. They have to use another, you know, 480 different, you know. So that's the difficulty that comes up. It's the modern academy. It's all about that you've done that work and you've come up with your understanding. So they're making munis. They're not actually making people of parampara. So that's their idea. One must become a servant of a Vaishnava, as Narottam Das Thakur has confirmed. Charya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Peche Keva. One cannot be in a transcendental position unless one very faithfully serves a pure Vaishnava. One must accept a Vaishnava Guru, Adau Guru Vashrayam, and then, by questions and answers, one should gradually learn what pure devotional service to Krishna is. That is called the Parampara system. 53, purport. That's a good one here, because here it says that verse, gradually learn what pure devotional service is. That's Parampara. So that's the whole. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiling replied, "One who does not accept the Swami, husband, as an authority, I consider a prostitute." Text 1.15. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are both a greatly learned scholar and a great devotee. Wherever there are two such attributes, there cannot be a mountain of false pride. You have dared criticize me." So he says, "You are both a greatly learned scholar and a great devotee. Wherever there are two such attributes, there cannot be a mountain of false pride." So that means, if he is proud, that means then there's a weakness in one of these, or both. Mm-hmm. Right? So now if he gives up that false pride, then things work in his proper. Because points that cannot be means it's not tolerated. Like that. "You have dared criticize Sridhar Swami and you've begun your own commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, not accepting his authority." Because he said, what he writes is inconsistent and this and that, because he's not seeing the consistency. Because there'll be this verse, you know, he'll deal with in this way, another verse in another way. It's because if you're dealing with the Paribhasha Sutra, that means a verse that seems contradictory is reconciled by the Paribhasha. Mm-hmm. So therefore, for someone not understanding that, we'll say, oh, he dealt with this verse in this way. It's different from how he dealt with that verse. Here he used it directly. Here he used it indirectly. These are different things. So he can't see. So that means the scholarship is not actually correct because he doesn't accept the authority. That is your false pride. Sridhar Swami is the spiritual master of the entire world because by his mercy we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I therefore accept him as a spiritual master. Whatever you might write due to false pride, trying to surpass Sridharaswami would carry a contrary purport. Therefore, no one would pay attention to it. Text 131 to 134. So, whatever one's doing has to be in line with what the acharyas are saying. That has to be the... Srimad Bhagavatam has many tikas or commentaries following the parampara system. But Sridharaswami's is first. Commentaries of all the other acharyas follow this, his. The parampara system does not allow one to deviate from the commentaries of the previous acharyas. By depending upon the previous acharyas, one can write beautiful commentaries. However, one cannot defy the previous acharyas. The false pride that makes one think that he can write better than the previous acharyas will make one's comments faulty. At the present moment, it has become fashionable for everyone to write in his own way, but such writing is never accepted by serious devotees. Because of false pride, every scholar and philosopher wants to exhibit his learning by interpreting the Shastras, especially the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, in his own way. This system of commenting in one's own way is fully condemned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he says, Artha Vyastha Likhani Se. Commentaries written according to one's own philosophical way are never accepted. No one will appreciate such commentaries on the revealed scriptures. 134, purport. One who comments on Srimad Bhagavatam following the footsteps of Sridharaswami will be honored and accepted by everyone. Put forth your explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam following the footsteps of Sridharaswami. Giving up your false pride, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Text 135 to 136. So he didn't have a problem with him having a commentary. It was just a matter of it has to follow in the line of Sridharaswami. So if he's writing a commentary that makes it accessible for people at the present time, seeing that Vishnuswami would have been, you know, sometime, I don't know how long ago, 1,000, 2,000.
Who, Vishnuswami?
Yeah.
No.
He was BC.
Yeah.
BC. First there was Nimbarka, who was like 5,000 years ago. Yeah. Then there was Vishnuswami. Nimbarka was right at the turn of the... You know, even like Bilba Mangal Thakur, he was living like, 600 years or something like that. You know, so he was also at that time. He even sees that's sort of in the Bible, you know, and it still gives the list of people. You know, there's guys who live in 900 years, 600 years. So it would have been on that edge of, you know, just at the end of Dwapara, beginning of Kali. So you
sometimes
kind of...
Sometimes the elders.
It's three of
us.
Yeah, so you have, it goes way back, so that's why also it appears that it may have been not so well maintained, the line.
So Ramanuja and Madhvacharya, fairly recent.
Yes. Yeah. Because, see, as the other two came and established, you know, Vaishnava Siddhanta, then you had this whole Leela with people getting so distracted by karma that Buddha Dev had to take them out of the Varnashram system just to reform them. But then Shankara brought them back in, and then Ramanuja and Madhva, then they brought them back in line with the Vaishnava understanding. So that then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission could be appreciated.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Yeah, so you have that little detour in between. Yeah, so, you know, it takes a while.
There's actually a master plan for Kali Yuga.
Yes. And then Prabhupada said that, because the Acharya, his books are written for a certain amount of time. Prabhupada said his are for the next 10,000 years. And we know that the Golden Age is 10,000 years, so that means his books are for the Golden Age. Like that. Doesn't mean others won't write commentaries or this or that. You know, but the main point is his will be the books by which you can understand the parampara.
Right.
So the founder charya means now you can understand what everybody is saying through that person. He makes it clear, like that. It doesn't make him the senior most of the parampara. It makes he's the one that reveals what the parampara is saying. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the Alwar, it means Ramanuja, you think of Sri, you think of Ramanujacharya. But senior to him is Yamunacharya, and senior to them is the Alwars. But he's the one that you can understand what they're all saying. Does that make sense? So that's the meaning of Founder Acharya. We take it, Founder Acharya means the guy who started the company or something, you know, like, what do you call it? You know, you got the Founder Acharya of, you know, Apple or, you know, how you say, you know, Windows, or, you know, that kind of stuff. No, it's he's the one that by him, now you can actually appreciate what the previous Acharyas, the six Goswamis, are saying, what Bhaktivinoda was saying. You can see it in that context. He's the one who regulates the whole thing. You know, it's like the personification of the Paribhasa Sutra. So that's the whole thing. Then through that you can know. Because if you look at the line, you know, you say Nimbarka, but who did Nimbarka hear from? You know. So their line, I think the Nimbarka line up to present, there's like 50 in the Parampara. Like where ours is like around 30. You know, so Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to like this, it comes down. So you have these big gaps. But they have, you know, there's the Lord to their Kumaras, and then something, the Humps avatar is there. Mm-hmm. So they come in that like that. And so before recently, there's a whole lot of other people in between. So it's, you know, it's just a matter of how, where it comes down, where it connects. The Parampara system does not allow anyone to deviate from the commentaries of the previous Acharyas. 134, purport. Chapter 8. Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. Okay. Pratigya. A person without devotional service who simply wants to know things gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. Adhyaya Prakashika. The following summary of the 8th chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya. This chapter describes the history of the Lord's dealing with Ramachandra Puri. Although Ramachandra Puri was one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, he was influenced by dry Mayavadis, and therefore he criticized Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri accused him of being an offender and rejected him. Because Ramachandra Puri had been rejected by his spiritual master, he became concerned only with finding faults in others and advising them according to dry Mayavad philosophy. For this reason, he was not very respectful to the Vaishnavas, and later he became so fallen that he began criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his eating. Hearing his criticisms, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced his eating, but after Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, the Lord resumed his usual behavior. Shlokanusharana, verses 1 to 17, Ramachandra Puri's modus operandi, 18 to 37, the examples of Ramachandra Puri and Ishwar Puri, 38 to 103, Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord, verses 1 to 17, Ramachandra Puri's modus operandi, 3818. Let me offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who reduced his eating due to fear of the criticism of Ramachandra Puri. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnation of the ocean of mercy. His lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the greatest of mendicants, who bound the entire world with a knot of ecstatic love for Krishna. All glories to Dvaita Prabhu, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He induced Krishna to descend and thus deliver the entire world. All glories to the devotees headed by Srivas Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is their life and soul. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri performed his various pastimes with his devotees in the waves of love for Krishna. When a sannyasi named Ramachandra Puri Gosai came to see Paramananda Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Paramananda Puri offered respects at the feet of Ramachandra Puri, and Ramachandra Puri strongly embraced him. Srila Prabhupada. Because Ramachandra Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, both Paramananda Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him respectful obeisances. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that although Ramachandra Puri was naturally very envious, and although he was against the principles of Vaishnavism, or, in other words, against the principles of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees, common people nevertheless addressed him as Goswami or Gosai, because he was superficially in the renounced order and dressed like a sannyasi. In the modern age, the title Goswami is used by a caste of Grihasthas, but formerly it was not. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, for example, were called Goswami because they were in the renounced order. Similarly, because Ramachandra Puri was a sannyasi, he was called Puri Goswami. By careful scrutiny, therefore, one will find that Goswami is not the title for a certain caste. Rather, it's properly the title for a person in the renounced order. Yeah, so the Goswamis, they were, means the six Goswamis, then they had their temples. And then for managing the temples and worshipping the deities as temples were built, then they had pujaris. Then the pujaris, then it, you know, it just went down through their family line worshipping the deity. But because they were working under the direction of that particular Goswami, you know, they took the title Goswami for themselves, which by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is pointing out they shouldn't. Because they're not Goswami means it's for the sannyasis. But that they call themselves, you know, like you hear now, it's the, you know, Madan Mohan Goswami is the Radharaman Goswamis or like that, but technically they're not. They're Brahmins. That's respected, and the pujaris, that's respected. But you don't have that. Like in South, they have them, you know, worshipping the deities there, but they don't call themselves by that. So. 389. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also offered obeisances unto Ramachandra Puri, who then embraced him and thus remembered Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances to Ramachandra Puri in consideration of his being a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of his own spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. When a Vaishnava sannyasi meets another Vaishnava sannyasi, they both remember Krishna. Even Mayavadi sannyasis generally remember Narayana, who is also Krishna, by saying Om Namo Bhagavate Narayanaya or Namo Narayanaya. Thus, it is the duty of a sannyasi to remember Krishna. According to Smriti Shastra, a sannyasi does not offer obeisances or blessings to anyone. It is said, sannyasi nirashir niram nir mamas kritya. A sannyasi should not offer anyone blessings or obeisances. Like that. It means if someone's senior to you in that, but it just means in general people, you don't offer obeisances to get some benefits or things like that.
And everybody goes to sannyasi for blessings.
Yeah, but they're not supposed to. It means they can go for blessings, but it's not that he gives blessings. It's by the Lord's grace you get blessings. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, Krishna Matiras too. Yes.
They don't give the blessings, and they don't give blessings like your family,
That's the way it means. Is the blessings meaning in the way of material facility and things
Like that? Would Maharaj come to my home, bless my house?
Yeah.
Bless my child. Bless my car. Bless my swimming pool.
Yes.
I remember, and I happened once to be in Kenya, in Nairobi.
Okay.
There was nobody there, just, you know, I was doing the Zamalachaya class, so I turned up at the Nairobi temple.
You just happened to be walking around and just happened to bump into the Nairobi temple. Could have been anywhere, you know.
But I was doing service for the deities, and you had this wealthy Indian. They turn up at the temple with a brand new car, just came off the boat, you know, imported Mercedes. And they come to the temple, they need arati to the car. So because the temple was broke, we agreed, you know, let's do an arati to the car, and they give a donation. So, you know, the wheels, the engine, incense, the steering wheel with flowers, you know, the seat belt.
Yeah, it means the fun part is they make the ritual.
Yeah, the whole ritual, then they give the nation. But they were not interested in anything else, just to get the car list.
Yeah, well, he just had to say it's part of the ritual. They have to come in and see the deity and offer obeisances, take charanamrita, do all those things. Then you go out to
keep the car to the deity.
That's even better.
That's the old one.
Yeah.
In Russia, it's simplified. It's only incense. the guy comes, gives that, you know, the smoke, the frankincense,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
the car, that's it. Shalom.
The duna.
He has a specific name for this, so it's only incense, everything else. Yeah. And it's big business for the church.
Okay.
Oh, the church, not the devotees.
No. He's talking about the church.
The devotees do it too.
No, for Russians, no.
So they didn't make it, but
they church. Never. Yeah, it's a business of the church, you know, it's a concept of interest.
Yeah. They have a monopoly.
Yeah.
So they do have.
In India, unless you put the lemons and the.
But here is that you put the lemon on the and drive backwards. I think.
Everybody has their own rituals. It's really funny.
But here is the lemon. You do that. Means that you put the pictures of the deities. You worship that on the car, and then after that they start the car, and then I think they drive back to get rid of any. Because the lemons represent where all the bad things go into there by driving back. They squash them and then they drive forward.
And the chilies?
Chilies, you don't. That's just hung up for in the window. I'm talking about doing the ritual.
You don't have anything you eat. You have food on the
lemon and chilies. That's what it is.
And we used to have it all the time. Yeah, you do have to. Car pooches, yeah. The thing is that they come outside, but the thing is that they're just so, it's their car is so important. They want to drive right, it means if they could, they drive into the courtyard and park right in front of the Shringadev. You know, if they could drive it inside, it would be even better, but, you know. But it's always so funny to see the mood and all that. Yeah, but back in the 80s, we used to do so many. I'm not sure if they gave any donation to the deities.
But they still do the
Yeah, we used to do the puja for the press, but that was more for the workers, like that.
Vishwakarma puja is the yearly puja for the machinery.
Yes.
But when you buy new, then that time you have to do. That's a separate one.
Yeah, yeah. It means what you already have. That's the Vishwakarma, but this is new.
Only for the cars?
Anyway, any instrument.
So you get a new blender then to see.
Yeah. Yes.
And in Gujaratis, I see them doing even for their like timber factory, their machinery, every day they do. Yeah. Normal puja and yearly.
Yeah, but now they're worshipping that rather than worshipping the Lord, so they miss the point. Haze the Lord. Yeah, it just keeps going down, down, down. Ten through 17. The three of them talked about Krishna for some time, and then Jagarananda came and extended an invitation to Ramachandrapuri. A large quantity of the remnants of food from Lord Jagannath was brought in for distribution. Ramachandrapuri ate sumptuously, and then he wanted to find faults in Jagarananda Pandit. He ate sumptuously, that's something to note.
Ramachandrapuri represents Jatila.
Jatila. That's why he specifically wants to find fault in.
Is Jatila?
He's Jatila. Is there?
Oh, it comes up.
And then Jagannath Pandit Satyabhama.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is
Jatila?
Who is Jatila?
It's not there. One is enough.
Yeah, you don't need anymore. After finishing his meal, Ramachandrapuri requested, "My dear Jagannanda, please listen. You eat the food that is left." With great eagerness, Ramachandrapuri seated Jagannanda Pandit and personally served him prasad, encouraging him again and again. Ramachandrapuri fed him sumptuously, but when Jagannanda had washed his hands and mouth, Ramachandrapuri began criticizing him. "I have heard," he said, "that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat more than necessary. Now I have directly seen that this is true. Feeding a sannyasi too much breaks his regulative principles, for when a sannyasi eats too much, his renunciation is destroyed." The characteristic of a Ramachandra Puri was that first he would induce someone to eat more than necessary, then he would criticize him. Udriti, Gorgana Dashtipika, 92-93. The devotee named Ramachandra Puri in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes had previously been Bibhishana. Lord Chaitanya himself did not accept that Ramachandra Puri was the incarnation of Bibhishana. But the Lord himself said that Ramachandra Puri was the empowered incarnation of Srimati Radharani's mother-in-law, Jatila. This Ramachandra Puri restricted Lord Chaitanya in his acceptance of alms. So.
It doesn't seem
to hold a
criticism.
No. Maybe he was before, but then he took on this mood. Verses 18-37. The examples of Ramachandra Puri and Ishwara. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Then Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. "Quote, if you are in full transcendental bliss," he said, "you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying?" Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Bhagavad Gita 1854, a Brahman realized person is always happy, na sochati na kankshati. He neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Ramachandra Puri was crying, Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense, for a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. 3.8.22. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Srila Prabhupada. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation. His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. When he was crying in separation, "I could not achieve Krishna, I could not achieve Mathura," this was not ordinary material lamentation. Ramachandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri, but nevertheless he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expressions as ordinary material lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendra Puri understood Ramachandra Puri's position as a great fool and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. 3.8.23-26. Madhavendra Puri continued, "O my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I am dying in my unhappiness, and now this rascal has come to give me more pain. Don't show your face to me. Go elsewhere. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall..." It means, oh, this is too Madhavendra Puri. "Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I shall not achieve the destination of my life. I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman." Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. Srila Prabhupada, the word vasana, material desires, refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4. A person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge but no spiritual profit. This is confirmed in Bhakti Sandarbha 1.11. Okay. Wherein it is said, even though one is liberated in this life, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which thy speculation about spiritual realization is one. Right? So it can be, you get into jnana, you can get into karma. It just means anything that's not bhakti will be material. In his Laghu Toshani commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, Jiva Goswami says, if one is liberated in this life, he becomes addicted. Even if one is liberated in this life, he becomes addicted to material desires because of offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A similar quotation from one of the Puranas also appears in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandradaya. Even liberated souls sometimes fall down to material desires, but those who fully engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not affected by such desires. These are references from authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to his spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. 3.8.27. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus, he is situated in criticism. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained in his Anubhasya that the word Nirbandha indicates that Ramachandra Puri had a steady desire to criticize others. Impersonalist Mayavadis who have no relationship with Krishna, who cannot take to devotional service and who simply engage in material arguments to understand Brahman, regard devotional service to Krishna as karmakanda or fruitive activities. According to them, devotional service to Krishna is but another means for attaining dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Therefore, they criticize the devotees for engaging in material activities. They think that devotional service is maya and that Krishna or Vishnu is also maya. Therefore, they are called mayavadis. Such a mentality awakens in a person who is an offender to Krishna and his devotees. Yes, we get it backwards. Because even they're saying, you know, up to moksha, it's karmakanda. But, you know, they're after moksha. But this is another thing of moksha, so what's the problem?
So it seems that Alexander Puri, even though he took initiation of Manavendra Puri, he came from another mind.
Maybe, but by association he may have picked up, you know, just like devotees by association could, you know, we were discussing before, pick up the academic mentality, or by associating with the corporate world, pick up that mentality, you know, or they have doubts, or they go to, you know, meet the different Babajis and Goswamis and pick up those mentalities. So somehow or another he's picked up some other mentality. It doesn't say where or why. The point is it's there.
Right.
But it happens. It just happens. You know, just like I think Bulma Sura, you know, it happens. You know, becomes a demon by bad association.
Mm-hmm.
3.8.28-37. Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performs service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. Ishwara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Pleased with Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishwara Puri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Ishwara Puri received the blessings of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. His divine grace, Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from the material world, he chanted the following verse. O my Lord, O merciful master, O master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? In this
verse, Buddha separation. Madhurani's Buddha separation. Why is she mentioning Mathura and not Vrindavan?
Because the whole region is called Mathura.
Okay.
So Vrindavan is included. When you say Mathura, that means Vrindavan also in this aspect.
Okay.
because it's the district of Mathura. You know, Mathura will be a city, Vrindavan, Raj will be a village. But it's
I thought it's in the reference of him going to Mathura, then she feels separation. Isn't that in the verse?
You mean that he's in Mathura, so she couldn't attain Mathura, meaning that he went there.
She can't she's in Raj, and he is in Mathura. That's what I thought.
Could be that also. The point is it's all because if it's in the separation, like you say, so now he's in Mathura. So yeah, it works very nicely also. Yeah. Madhavendra Puri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. Madhavendra Puri sowed the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world and then departed. That seed later became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have incidentally described the passing away of Madhavendra Puri. Anyone who hears this must be considered very fortunate. So.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.